Up until very recent times, there have been primarily three groups of people with respect to religious belief. There are those who believe in God and practice faith. There are those who believe but don't practice faith. And in the last couple of centuries, but especially in the last 50 years, a growing number of atheists. That last group is quite worrisome because no culture in history has had significant numbers of people who believe that there is no intelligent creating God. The explosion of scientific inquiry and discovery has suggested to people, to humanity, that we can know all there is to know by the powers of human intellect and examination of the natural world. But an even more troubling trend in Western culture in recent times is a very fast-growing group who don't care if there's a God or not. It's irrelevant to their lives. With atheists, at least one could argue with them. They're always ready to try to disprove Christian belief. The new group is apathetic. They could not care less about the arguments for or against God. Someone coined the term for them, apatheists. I like that term. Our picture of Jesus and his time suggests to us that there were no atheists and no apatheists at that time. But there were identifiable groups of people based on their openness to him. Some had places in their hearts for what God was doing in the world. Now, they may have been confused by Jesus, but their longing for the Savior made their hearts ready to receive him. The reason he was hated and then crucified is not because they were atheists or apatheists. They just wanted God to be like them. A God who enters directly into his own creation as a human being? Ridiculous. By the way, that is the reason for the angel rebellion from the very beginning. God must never lower himself to such base and limited creatures such as us. Satan would not accept it. He's no atheist, and he's definitely not apathetic. You can bet he cares. He knows God, and he hates God. Satan tried everything in the 40 days that Jesus spent in the desert. That's what we experience in our Lenten journey. He tempted Jesus with everything he could imagine that might entice him not to pursue God's love and care for his creatures who had gone astray like sheep. It did not work then, but he was not done attempting to deceive those creatures about Jesus. As the people come face to face with Jesus, there are misunderstandings and presumptions about who he is, how he will be, or how he will fulfill or not fulfill the Old Testament prophecies and what he will accomplish. Assumptions and judgments lead to frustration and anger. So it is in every age. Confusion over faith in Christ and church teaching sparks controversy and religious disintegration. There was a question about where Jesus came from. Two traditions regarding the birth and origin of the Messiah circulated in ancient Judaism. One is that he would be manifested to the world only as an adult. The other is that he would come from Bethlehem in accordance with the prophecy in chapter 5 of the prophet Micah. In today's gospel, we reflect on the confusion about the identity and the origin of Jesus Christ. Can it be that this is the Messiah? But when he comes, no one will know where he is from. The irony is that both of these things are true in Jesus. He has a human origin in Bethlehem, and he did grow up in Nazareth in Galilee in a very human way. But before that, his heavenly origin is in the Blessed Trinity. Jesus responds to their doubt and their confusion by declaring that he comes from God. His knowledge and his words are about heavenly things. John is very clear, the gospel writer John is very clear that Jesus is in charge of the situation where they want to arrest him. But no one touches him because, as John says, because his hour had not yet come. The time had not yet come for him to fully reveal his identity and his mission. That would happen only through the cross, through what looked like Satan's victory. Chapter 2 of the Book of Wisdom stunningly describes for us accurately the image of the righteous man who is, I love this word, inconvenient to the wicked because he opposes their actions and who professes to have knowledge of God and who calls himself a child of the Lord. And it goes on. His manner of life is unlike that of others. Right there in the ancient book of wisdom, already this man who will be an inconvenience is from God, who is Father. And we can look at this in sacred scripture and be in awe of how accurately Jesus is predicted so many years earlier. The wicked of that day are already prepared. The wicked of the day of the writer of the book of wisdom are already preparing for this man from God, his entry into salvation history. They are already saying, let us test him with insult and torture so that we might find out how gentle he is and make trial of his forbearance. Let us condemn him to a shameful death. It's remarkable, isn't it? On and on it goes, describing almost exactly what the wicked will do to the Savior, the one from God, who takes on all sin, all wickedness on himself. Hear the wording. This is fantastic and applies so much for us today. Jesus is inconvenient because he contradicts the atheists and he stirs up the apathetic, or attempts to. Well, Holy Week is very soon, but for this moment, for us, at this moment, late in the fourth week of Lent, those who are ready to walk with Jesus will once again be plunged into the mystery of how and why the Son of God is killed by the wicked who hate God and by those who refuse to be stirred from their apathy. People of faith may cry out with Peter in another place, Lord, this must not happen to you. But Jesus will long to go to the cross for those who would believe and those who would be stirred up. Listen to his heart in another place. There is a baptism with which I must be baptized, and how great is my anguish until it is accomplished. This is such a disturbing time for us, isn't it? We are overwhelmed by the number of ways Satan lies to people everywhere in our culture. But you know what? The good news is always with us, even during this time, because God always, always overcomes the lies. There is always good news with us. God always acts in ways that astound us. That's why Jesus from the cross will forgive the atheists, the apatheists, and the confused. He died for them as he died for the believers. What a faith we have, brothers and sisters. What a God we have. What a Savior. What a mystery we must embrace once again this year and even at this moment until it is time